All right, let's, before we go to prayer, let's look into the scripture. And would you join me, please, in the book of Daniel? We're looking into the third chapter this evening. We're looking at what the old-timers would call the three Hebrew lads. Now, we don't exactly know their age, but common conviction is that they were fairly young, probably in their teenage years, I guess. And we're about to see something displayed in them that certainly wasn't in me when I was a teenager, and perhaps not any of us here. But this is something remarkable. This is when Nebuchadnezzar builds this image and makes everybody fall down before it and worship when they hear the certain sounds of music. And that right there is its own subject for another sermon, but not tonight. But these three lads say no. The report filters back up to Nebuchadnezzar, makes him very mad. He brings them in a rage and anger, and he tells them in no uncertain terms, if you're ready, that's verse 15 of chapter 3, to fall down and worship the image that I've made, very well. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Well, he's about to find out, but he doesn't know just yet. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they answered and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this. Can you hear this in a teenager's voice? See if you can. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And there is our resolution of faith for the evening that we want to think upon for just a few moments. Now, where did this faith come from? How do you come up with something like this? I imagine that as they look at Nebuchadnezzar, they realize he is not bluffing. He's not blowing steam. He's already commanded the furnace to be heated seven times hotter. And whoever's escorted them into the king has probably been pleading with them all the way. Please, just, it doesn't mean anything. Just take a knee, bow down, and you'll satisfy the king. You know in your heart it doesn't mean anything. So just, and we all know it too. Who knows what was being said to them? But they finally stand before the king and they say these great things. Well, number one, our God is able to deliver us. Number two, he will deliver us. Number three, even if he does not, we are not going to bow down to your God. Now, I mulled over this. It blesses me. It humbles me. Where do these kids get a faith like this? And then it just sort of almost answers itself, doesn't it, that the rich heritage of the faith, what's been given to them, what's been handed down, what their parents have told them, what they've learned at synagogue, what they've heard at the temple, they are probably old enough to have been there and seen some of the sights and heard some of the great songs and witnessed some of the tremendous things before Nebuchadnezzar ever got there. And it starts leaving a sweet, strong residue in your spirit. This rich heritage. The faith of our fathers. We sing that, don't we? Listen, you keep talking to your grandkids. You keep talking to your children because it is the sort of thing that will stand them in good stead. This made me think of a song that Rich Mullins wrote, and it was years and years ago, of course, but he posed the question as he thought about the early life of our Lord Jesus and what was his growing up like, and did he hear the song, the stories of the faith? And he even asked the musical question, did they tell you stories about the saints of old, stories about their faith. Did they, Lord? I'm sure they did. And then he adds this thought. They say stories like that make a boy grow bold. Stories like that make a man walk straight. What a great line. The heritage of the saints, the rich legacy of those that have gone on before us, those very stories, and even the good Christian biographies that are on your shelf, and you pick one out and it just stirs your heart, and that's what's going on, is it makes a boy grow bold and it makes a man walk straight. Well, they had promises, didn't they? At least they had a promise. These men lived after the time of Isaiah. Do you remember what Isaiah had said once under the inspiration by the Holy Ghost? He'd said this, "Now thus says the Lord your Creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you." And they had examples of that, didn't they? And obviously it was an up-to-date, current kind of thing, projecting off into the future that there was going to be times when they were passed through the waters and going through the rivers, and the Lord says, "I'm going to be with you." And then the prophet goes on, God speaking through him, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you." Can you think of any experiences to this point where that has been proven as a valid reality, a living experience? Can you think of anything? I mean, the first part I thought of, well, the Red Sea, and then going through the Jordan River, dry shod, and then, but now this one, you pass or you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And I have a feeling that most of these Jewish saints would do like we should do more of. They would look at this as, and this doesn't nullify the strength of it, but they look at it as one of those comprehensive things, almost metaphorical, that the fires of life, the trials of like furnace that burn through all people. And we're not really speaking of a literal furnace. We're speaking of something that is metaphorical, that it can feel like it sometimes. You think, oh boy, it just burned up everything. And they may have thought about it that way. But they had this promise, didn't they? Now, I like this thought that faith is always forced to be original. You never get to repeat the situation of the past or walk in the footsteps necessarily of those that have gone before you. Or if you do, God will put his own twist for your life and your experience, and so that this will be new to you. It'll feel like a new thing. And you're walking what you think is uncharted territory, and for it to be faith, it has to lay hold of God right there in those places. So, these people had this promise. They even had an example. I mean, in this sense, they had seen the hand of God in Babylon. Just you turn a chapter back, and what have you got? Their lives are in jeopardy already. And what they need is to be able to tell the king a dream that he's had. And not just the interpretation, but the dream itself. Well, who can do that? Well, they sit down, they kneel, whatever they do, they get together, this little cell of believing lads, and they pray. Daniel's with them. God gives the dream to Daniel. He tells the king, everything's fine. So they've got the example. They've already got the promise from Isaiah. They have the example with them that God is there helping them in Babylon. His presence is not just confined to Judea. He's the God of all the earth, isn't he? And he's there helping us now. But this still is new. And it results, they make what is called two assertions, and then they have one alternate. And then they have their solid resolution. Their assertions are just this. O Nebuchadnezzar, if it be so, our God whom we serve, he is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. God is able. There you go. They have that. This is their assertion. This they know from the scripture. God is able to deliver us from the burning fire. The other assertion is this, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now, that gets even stronger, doesn't it? God's going to deliver us. But now listen to this alternate. When I was younger as a Christian, this almost sounded like a cop-out. But they say this in verse 18, but even if he does not. Does that sound like a cop-out to you? Like we're hedging our bets, like this is the strength of our faith and the strength of our conviction, but if not. They didn't say it that way, did they? But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king. Even if he does not. This is the alternate. And I just want to read to you a little few verses or lines from Born for Battle. Everybody needs a copy of this. I think it's out of print, so good luck finding it. This is by Arthur Matthews, and it's 31 Studies on Spiritual Warfare. Well, chapter 23 is on this story, and it's beautifully written and wonderfully stated. But he says, this chapter is faith's alternates. And he says this, faith's alternate, introduced by the words, but if not, is no less an expression of faith than the two previous assertions. It gives, in fact, a demonstration of the reality of the faith they professed. In no way were they qualifying their statement or weakening the force of faith's first claims. Far from it. By adding to it an opportunity for God to take another course for achieving his glory at their expense. We believe God. He can do this. He will do it. But if he does not, they're not trying to force God's hand here. Is that making sense? Let me finish this little paragraph here. By adding to it an opportunity for God to take another course for achieving his glory at their expense, they were giving faith a new dimension. It can be, but it is not necessarily a cop-out to say, Lord, this is my will, but yours may be contrary to mine. We're not forbidden to ask for certain things or to believe that God can do anything. But if he chooses to work another way, this is always the place where faith really does bend its heart before God and say, not my will, but thine be done. You're praying as the Lord Jesus did. And these men are stating that God can, God will, but if he doesn't, he can burn us up in the fire. If he gets more glory that way. Nebuchadnezzar is seeing a strength he has never seen. I mean, get his top advisors and his military commanders. He has never seen anything like this. Everybody's out there in front of this golden thing, bowing down. But these three lads, we don't know where Daniel is right here. It doesn't matter. We're looking at these three lads, and they're saying, no, no, we will not. He has never seen anything like this. Ooh, burns him up, doesn't it? I'm sure he respects it, but he's got to put an end to something like that. It looks like insubordination. Even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king. And here's their resolution. The resolution that they have formed is based on their conviction. It's based on this alternate to their conviction. Not their conviction. It's the alternate to their statement of faith. We are at God's disposal. He may do with us as he wishes. So therefore, we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. That's encouraging, isn't it? Does everybody remember how it ends? It ends well, doesn't it? They see that what God said through the prophet was more, actually more than just metaphorical. It was actual. I mean, it was not actual in the sense of real, but it was, he said, all right, I will honor the faith right here. I will display my glory right here. I have gotten from the mouth of these teenagers this glorious confession of faith and the abandonment to the will of God, which they had, again, Nebuchadnezzar has never seen the like. And then I'll show them something. The fire can reduce their bonds, burn them off, and they can walk free with the Lord Jesus Christ in the furnace. I love that. I see one like a son of God there. Oh, come on out. Would you want to come out? I don't know. It'd be tempting, very tempting to stay there, but probably the Lord said, it's time to go. You've made your statement. Your faith has been honored. And I can just almost hear the Lord saying, like he did of that woman, what this woman has done will be told in remembrance of her wherever the gospel is preached. And wherever the Bible falls into the hands of men, they turn over and they start reading and they get to the prophet Daniel and they think, look at what's going on. And they get to chapter 3 and they go, oh my soul, their God can do anything. Well, may we present before men just such a resolution. Our God is able, and he will. But if he chooses another course, so be it. But we will serve him. Let's pray.